One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What happened to Scotty? Why did she leave? Why did you leave television, Scotty? Why did you leave Mythbusters?
This is a million-dollar question, you know? I would say...
Welcome, Mythfits.
Welcome to Mythbits. My name is Carrie Byron.
And I am Tori Belleci. Thanks again for coming back.
We know each other because we have been together for a long time. We used to work on a show called Mythbusters together. And so if you haven't seen the show, you're probably not listening to this podcast. So, Tori!
So,
Tori, what you been up to? What's going on?
I'm constantly on Instagram. Like, I hate it because it's like, I start scrolling the stories and it's just like, boom, the next thing. And I'm like, I need to put this phone down. But I was online and all of the things that usually pop up are like gadgets because I'm like totally into like new technology, whatever. So it's like, it's feeding me what I want to see. But how many times did I get hurt on the show?
So many.
So many times, right?
I mean, not even the big things. It wasn't ever explosions. It was like the dumb stuff that like we were waiting for things to happen and we were just like screwing around.
Right. Exactly. Like, do you remember when we were out on the runway and we were bored because Jamie and Adam were setting up the experiment and we were just like killing time, but there was a cameraman there. So we were like, oh, let's perform for the camera.
Yeah, sure. All the time.
And I jumped a wagon. Do you remember that?
Do I remember that? I have like made edits for Instagram of you falling over and over and over again. That is like one of the most memorable Tori scenes. And like the one thing people ask me about, I was just on a shoot in Oklahoma. And that's the question people ask me about you is like, oh my God, the red wagon. Did Tori really try to jump that? Like people still ask me about that.
Something popped up in Instagram and it just made me think of that. And it made me think, God, we all should have been wearing one of these while making Mythbusters. Check this out.
So these are like airbags for your body that we wear in a vest, and then all of a sudden you have an airbag helmet and an air... Like, I will totally take one of those just for my daily life. I will put my child in one of those. It's a giant bubble wrap.
But how good is that? It's a wearable airbag. So if you fall, the airbag, it deploys, protects your head, your back. I mean, it's like... We should have all been wearing those all the time.
Now, I've heard that like in other countries, they've had those as bike helmets for a while now. I'm so happy that that's what your algorithm is, because I was hanging out with a makeup artist and she's like, oh, my God, have you seen these videos? And I'm like, what? And so I typed in to my algorithm, mind you, God, it's ruined my life online. What? I typed in Walmart. Eye contact, fart.
What?
Because there's a whole...
What? That's a weird combo.
There's this guy who just like lets out immense amounts of flatulence while making direct eye contact with people and videotapes it. And so then I put my phone down and
now
it
that's
just
all you
kept
get?
Running over and over and over. So you can imagine I can't get back to new tech and interesting things because my entire algorithm now
is
just... Based off of eye contact, farting, Walmart. I mean, it's going to the repairs that I'm going to have to do.
Be careful what you search for. That's the real lesson there, Carrie. So, Carrie, the whole reason I brought up the red wagon is because we have a guest on today who I am so excited to talk about because she was there to witness the jump. And I have some questions, and I'm sure you're going to have some questions for her, too. It is our own Build team member, Scotty Chapman. Scotty, I can't believe I have not seen you for 20 years.
And you look exactly the same.
You did. You've not changed.
Most of you guys. The only time I've seen you, Tori, I remember seeing you. I have not seen you in person for 20 years. I was at my mom's house and I saw you on Iron Chef.
I was dying
laughing because you were just like everything you would eat. You're like, this is really great. And I was cracking up. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So
what were you hired to do for MythBusters?
Well, supposedly I was hired to, do metal fabrication, to be the person, responsible for building whatever they needed, when welding, machining, fabrication skills were needed and other things too. But, focusing on that was my expertise. And that's what I walked in there thinking I was going to be doing.
In the early seasons, it was like Jamie and Adam, they're the stars. And then they brought builders in to help get the experiments set up so that Jamie and Adam could come and build it. So Scotty, you were with Christine, who was a contest winner. You guys were a team to help build stuff for Jamie and Adam. And then Carrie and I were building at another shop, the experiments for them. And so they would just go back and forth between the two teams. But when you were hired, did they say, you might have to be on camera and explain what you're doing sometimes?
I mean, I think they said that, you might have to talk on camera occasionally. But, I thought it would be like, this is what I'm building and this is how I'm doing it. It got a lot more complicated than that.
Were you nervous?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God. I feel like we all were. I feel like Carrie was the only one that was like, woohoo, we're going to be hosts.
I wasn't.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I wasn't. I was terrified. I was trying to impress you two. You guys were so cool. And I was just like showing out. I was trying really hard because you guys had massive skills that I had just told people I had.
But we also just, being put in front of the camera like that. And then, it was a lot more complicated. And we were at times told what to say. I'm sure you guys remember this. Being told what to say.
Oh,
and then
absolutely. The
puppet master.
Yes. Mouthing it. Mouthing it on the side of the camera going. And you're like, stop doing that. You're distracting me.
And we'd have to do it over and over over again. I'm like, oh my God, I suck at this.
So for the people who don't know who the puppet master was a producer on MythBusters. I remember one time he was like, Tori, get it right. And I was like, it had been like six or seven takes and I just kept flubbing it. And he was like, get it right. And for a long time, that was like whenever I would screw it up, that was the big joke. Get it right.
I mean, early days, we only had one camera. So when we do a conversation, they'd make us do it over and over. So okay, now you talk. Okay, now you talk. Okay, now we're going to do it from far away. And all three of you talk. It was so hard. It was trial by fire. I felt like they just threw us out there. We're just like, okay, now you do something you've never done before. Go, be perfect, Dad.
Well,
and he would tell us to sound natural.
Yeah.
Well, then not just that, but then you want me to say it like this in this particular way, but sound natural.
When I just recently went back and because I knew you were coming on, so I went back and I watched the first episodes that we started and kind of went back and remembered. And it's hard for me to watch because one, I am such a brat. And I remember I just kind of all of a sudden went back to that moment. And I remember being so intimidated by how cool you were. That I did that thing that kids do where you act out and you try to act cool, but I just came off as such a dummy. I said such regrettable things. There were a couple moments where I cringed so hard that I had to stop watching. I'm like, oh, no. Like, and you were cool the whole time. You came in and I was like, oh my God, she can weld, she can build things. Like you were just cool. You were so important to that show, though, because, like, I mean, even the aesthetic of the show, like the busted signs, the Mythbusters logo.
I don't know,
like,
right?
You were the one that welded all of that, that became like, that embodied what the show was like. It was like, you know, it was down and dirty. It wasn't a font. It was like actually welded letters. And you did that. You were the one that welded all of the blast shields that we would, the safety shields we would stand behind. Like, you welded all the right. frames for those. You taught me how to weld.
Did I teach you how to weld?
You did, because I was pretty useless and lied about my skill. Well, you both had to. I was completely, well, no, I didn't know how to do anything.
Scotty was the welder. She was the weld, like, she was the metal lady. She was like, anything fabricated in metal, it was like Scotty. Anything wood, I was like the wood guy. And so when you left, it was like, oh, crap. Like, we all need to start. We all need to learn how to start welding and fabricating in metal because Scotty's gone.
I mean, I have a very specific memory of a myth that we did called Boom Lift Catapult, where you shined so hard. They did not film the planning of these myths, the behind the scenes stuff. But like, the idea was that there was a man in a boom lift basket and it's somehow like he had pulled it with a truck, the basket itself, and it released and it like launched this guy through the air off the boom lift. Like it was a catapult or a trebuchet. And we were in a planning meeting, and this is the first time where, for me, like, Mythbusters really got Mythbustery, because we were trying to figure out how it was going to be done. And you were the one that's like, well, we could just, like, make the boom lift have a giant fulcrum on the wheels. And then I think, you know, like, everybody started spitballing, and that's when we decided that we were going to take two container ships and stack them on top of each other, and then we were going to put the boom lift on top of these container ships, and then we were going to, like, pull the boom lift down and actually turn it into a giant metal trebuchet. And it was like, you were the one that I think started the crazy.
Yeah,
and then instead of being like one of those things where people were like, nah, we can't do this, like Jamie and Adam and everybody are like, oh, well, how can we do this? Like, everybody had such confidence in you and your welding and your skills that they're like, well, of course Scotty can do it. Like, of
totally.
Course.
No, I remember we were trying to figure out, because this was like a moment for me where I got a pat on the back from Jamie, because I worked for Jamie before and he would always be so critical. So when I started on Mythbusters, I was like, oh, like, this is going to be really tough because I'm afraid to throw out ideas. But we were trying to come up with what kind of a structure, and you had some ideas, like, what if we got these big I-beams and we made these giant triangles and we hoist up the trebuchet, and we were just like, that's going to take too much time. It's going to cost too much money. And I was like, well, what if we put the, you know, stack shipping containers and then we put it on top of that. And Jamie goes, you get a gold star. And it was like, it was like, oh my God. It's so dumb, right? It's like such a, like, when you're a kid and you pass a grade, you get a gold star. It was so like condescending. But at the time I was like, did you hear that, everybody? Jamie, you gave me a gold star.
Well, Jamie was like, legendary.
I did something right in his eyes.
He was legendary for just like, he does not give out compliments easy. He's going to tell you exactly what's on his mind. And like, I remember just when we were behind the scenes and I was just an intern, I'd work on a project. He would come in and just tell me like, that's horrible, start again and throw it away. Or if he came in and was like, that's, you know, that's actually good. I remember feeling just elated, just joy. So like the fact that he said, you get a gold star, that was high praise.
Oh, tell me about it. I mean, I look back and I'm like, wow, that's so ridiculous. But at the time, woo, it was important.
Scotty, do you remember making the big shafts that went on either end of wheels? Like, you were cutting them all out. It was a long project.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that well. You know, and the structural considerations there and everything. I also, what I remember about that, unfortunately, is that I saw that as kind of a fail on our part, that we didn't realize that, because it just went around and pounded it into the ground.
Right.
Do you remember that? And then the whole thing like just fell apart and came crashing down.
It was a spectacular fail.
Yeah, but it didn't launch because we didn't put a stop,
to it.
So that was disappointing. But, you know,
but
it was still...
as far as TV goes, that wasn't
a fail.
It was a massive crash in slow motion.
So, right. So there is that redeeming quality, but...
Yeah, totally. And Buster just got destroyed into pieces.
When it was over, we ended the episode with, okay, you guys clean up. And then they're like, thanks, we're out. And we're like, thanks for being here for the fun part.
Yeah, you said that.
And that was a running theme.
That was such a common thing, though, yes.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
But I love you because you would never take crap from the producers. Like, they would throw stuff at you and be like, Scotty, you're doing this wrong. And you would just give it right back. And I was like, oh man, I'm afraid to do that. You were just fearless.
There was that. Yeah. There was a lot of headbutting between me and the puppet master. I'll say
you had a special relationship with that puppet master.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah,
he had it out for you for some reason.
Yeah, well, I think it's because of what you're talking about. And he would tell me what to say, and then he would tell me how to say it. And I would say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And that's amazing. Trying to explain, like, look, I have a hard time in what I do being taken seriously as it is. You know, in the welding world, just being a female, I guess, but I'm not going to dumb myself down or sound, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. So, but yeah, a lot of headbutting.
A lot of screaming matches.
Yep. There was the day that I almost walked home, like I almost got out of the van in Fresno when we stopped to get food. And I came so close to just getting out of the van. And
wait, I don't remember this. What myth was this? What was happening? What happened? I don't remember this.
The Civil War one. This was it. Son of a gun.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, it was son of a gun.
We went down to Fresno because so the myth was a woman gets pregnant out of wedlock, and they said that the reason she got pregnant was a Civil War slug went through a soldier's testicle, picked up some sperm, and then it lodged itself into a woman's womb, and that's how she got pregnant, right? That was the myth.
And so that was disgusting.
That was such a weird... Do you remember that shoot?
I do, because we not only had to...
character.
The worst part was, I mean, this was definitely... Okay, so... We were a down and dirty skeleton crew. We were scrappy in the beginning and everybody had to take part in this. But what we needed to do was we needed to collect genetic legacy, otherwise known as sperm. And to do that, we didn't like go to a medical facility. Everybody on the crew who was they assumed it was the males, but everybody on the crew had to go home and bring sperm in that they collected on their own. So like everybody brought in their baggie of sperm in the morning, and we had one producer go, is it all right if my sample has saliva? And then we had another crew member come in who was legendary who brought in a very ambitious bag full of sperm.
He was one of the shop assistants, and he just we were like all amazed at how much he brought in. We're just like, Jesus. Like,
he was either working on that all night or the most virile man ever. I remember specifically, we weren't allowed to use the word sperm more than like once, and it was when Jamie goes, well, I guess we need to collect some sperm. And it was like so awkward.
But okay, wait. So we went to Fresno because there was a Civil War reenactment. And so we were going to interview these characters and get some B-roll to go along with the myth and talk to these historians that knew everything about musket shooting and all that stuff. So anyway, so I want to know why, because after that shoot, you were like, I'm done.
It was because we saw it. Do you remember leaving at like 4 a.m? I think we left at 4 a.m. for that shoot. I was starving. I was not the only person who was like crazy hungry in the car. And I was sitting in the passenger seat of the van and sorry. Should I say that name?
We don't use that name on this podcast.
Well, you know,
I like the Puffer Master.
Edit that name out.
We'll bleep it
out. So I was in the passenger seat of one van and we're in the drive-through getting food. And the puppet master, I guess, was in a huge hurry. And I guess we didn't clear it by him. And he pulled up next to us and he's driving and he rolls down the window and he starts, you know, yelling or like saying something. And I just kind of rolled up a middle finger, I guess. I thought he was like just kind of joking or, you know, being as he would be sometimes. Sometimes he would be like that, but it wasn't fully serious. It was just like, you know, joking. But he just went off on me, Ugh. And yeah, I was so close. I can't even tell you. I was so close to just getting out of the van and hitchhiking my way back. Because this is before I didn't have a cell phone then.
Right.
Before Uber. Wow. So No, that was almost the straw that broke the camel's back.
Wait, so it wasn't the fact that we were shooting muskets at that point through a bag of sperm and your job was to count the viable sperm afterwards to see if the myth was true? Like, you were handling...
That was the fun part.
Like, that wasn't the part that
I don't
you were
know
like,
fun.
Nah,
that
now?
Didn't bother me. No, that didn't bother me. That did not bother me. No. I mean, I know, it's a little weird. Everybody coming in with their little baggies.
God, I completely forgot about that whole aspect of that experiment. It was so gross.
The one thing that I remember that like I can never unhear is, you know, when we were at the Civil War reenactment and we were talking to people and, you know, they're all staying in character. And we talked to this one guy who was acting like a Civil War doctor and he was telling us like real methods for curing things back then. And he told us, I'm pretty sure
that was a woman.
Pretty awful. That was a woman.
That was a
woman.
Was
it a woman that told us how they cured syphilis?
Yeah, that glass tube. She had that little box with the glass tube in it.
They did the glass tube up the man's urethra and then break it inside of his penis to cure syphilis because you pee in the blood and the disease out.
Ugh.
Yeah, so there was a little thing that goes in the glass tube before you do that whole breaking part inside, and then you pull that thing out to pull all the little shards of glass out to scrape the urethra, basically. And if that didn't cure syphilis by, like, why any man would even have sex after that?
I love how I remember that detail.
Tori,
well,
could you
unremember
me?
I'm like throwing up in my mouth listening to that description.
We learned so many interesting things on this show.
Yeah, but I remember that woman having, it was a glass tube, but the thing that went through it that had like these little, when it got through the, you know, it's kind of like an umbrella. When it got through the end of the glass tube, it fanned out and then that was inserted.
I got it the first time. I it was very clear. You described
Yeah. But I couldn't find anything on the internet.
I'm dead. I know they say things are forever, like the internet's forever, but it's not. It actually is not.
No.
I think that's a myth. It gets drowned out by time because I, you know, there's so many things that I try to go back and look for. I can't find any, like I'd have to go to the Wayback Machine. Things just get drowned out by like just mass media. So I'm going to go look that up later. If I can find it, I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, send it.
Do you remember our safety officer?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yep. Do you remember what our safety officer did?
Yeah. A million times. That, like he was usually the reason why somebody got hurt or faced like imminent death.
That's not what she's referring to.
Almost
though.
Got us shot.
Yes.
Remember? He almost got us shot.
Okay.
Yes.
We gotta tell
Scotty,
we gotta tell this story.
Let's tell this story.
I've had three guns pointed at me in my life, and two of them were while making Mythbusters.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Tori, so do you want to explain the myth?
So the myth was we were blowing up a bunch of balloons to see if you could lift a girl off the ground with helium balloons. And so we had taken, you know, we had gone out to this abandoned airstrip. They had these warehouses that were just completely empty, but they were covered with steel, with metal roofs. And so the people who were letting us do the experiment there, they're like, well, what if balloons escape into the rafters? How are you going to get them down? And we're like, well, we got a BB gun. We got slingshots. We're going to, you know, if they get up there, we can shoot them down. And they're like, all right, that seems like a great plan to me. So anyway, so that was the setup of the myth.
Well, you know, we had this massive balloon. So it wasn't even just the balloons that escaped to the roof. We had to get rid of all these balloons. It was a huge, massive balloons. Carrie, you had like the Freddy Krueger claws and you're getting them with
knives.
That. Yeah, the knives. I know I was like breathing fire on some of them to pop them. Like you're doing all these like different popping things. And, you know, of course, the
Wait,
BB
she says
gun
this
and everything.
So casually. You were breathing fire to get the balloons down. You say that as if like everybody does that.
You just aspirate paraffin into a fine mist. Don't try this at home. Don't go doing this. Am I going to get sued for this?
No.
No, you said don't try this at home. Like,
you've signed the waiver. Didn't you sign the waiver before you came on?
What waiver? Yeah. Yeah. So basically you aspirate paraffin and, you know, use a fire source like a lighter or whatever. And that, yeah, it's like droplets. It's like, you know, how diesel fuel has to be in a spray to ignite.
You're breathing fire. And then Tori had a BB gun. And so did the safety officer.
No. So I had.
Yeah. What did you have,
just,
Tori?
I was just throwing rocks, like any piece of debris that had a sharp edge. I was just throwing rocks up into the rafter. And our safety officer was shooting the BB gun up at the balloons that had escaped. And all I remember were two squad cars screeching into this warehouse and pulling guns out on us. And they're like, drop the weapon. I instantly dropped everything out of my hand and put my hands up. Our safety officer lifts up the BB gun and starts walking quickly towards them saying,
no, he's
don't worry.
Running towards them.
Yes. To go, look, don't worry. It's with a BB gun. And they're like, put the gun down.
We were all face down on the ground, including the like little, like, was she 4 years old? The little girl that we were lifting with the balloons.
She was six at the time, Maddie.
Six.
Yeah.
Yes. It was our audio tech's daughter. And we were all face down on the ground, except for the safety officer running towards them with what looks exactly like a real gun. Don't shoot.
Right. I just remember, because we were facing away. You and I were doing a little side shoot with Maddie, and you know the camera guy is there. We have our backs to the whole opening of the building, and you know, so the balloons are making a ton of noise when they're popping, and there was a retirement home across the street from what I remember.
Right.
So I think somebody called it in, like, hey, there's kids lighting off fireworks or shooting guns or something. So anyway, I just remember, Carrie, you and I are standing there, we're doing this like wrap-up segment, and our camera guy puts the, he goes, we have a situation here. And I turn around and look to see, yeah, safety guy running towards the car with a gun over his head. And then all of us, like, they, yeah, they have him, like, on the ground, and, like, us, they're, like, everybody on the ground, and they have the, like, over our way, and we're, like, come on, Maddie, let's go down on the ground.
Lay down on the ground, baby girl.
We're doing this now. And I have, I think I have, like, a cluster of balloons in my hand, and I am on the ground, just realizing what had just happened. Just laughing hysterically behind the balloons.
I forgot about the retirement home. When the police came in, they're like, what the hell are you guys doing? We just got a complaint that there is a man running around with a rifle shooting, and they were hearing the balloons popping. So they thought they were gunshots. And then I think it was Heapy. So I forget who the cameraman was, but whoever was filming kept the camera rolling and just set it down on the ground to like to capture that moment of all of us face down on the ground with guns pointed at us.
Oh my God, I wish we had that footage. How do we get that footage?
Think of all the footage that ended up on the floor.
Yeah.
You could run like five more seasons of just other edits of all of those myths.
Yeah. One more thing. When I jumped the wagon, was Carrie being sarcastic, or was she saying, oh, you're totally going to make that jump?
You were in this too. We could play this clip.
You were right there.
Let's play this clip.
You were kind of like jokingly coaxing me on, but you were there at that moment.
Ready for this?
Let's tag him on until he hurts himself.
Yeah, it looks like he cleared it. Go for it.
Does it? No.
Oh, shoot.
Oh!
I'm okay.
Chori, I actually did not remember some of the way we were saying that, but like your bunny hops were so little that I think that we didn't think you'd actually go through with it, or that like maybe you were just like so good at jumping a bicycle that maybe you'd make it. I apologize now.
The record is straight now. You've set the record straight, Carrie. Scotty, you were both complicit in me jumping that wagon.
I still feel like there was an air of sarcasm. I think maybe we're all at fault here. You were showing off, and we didn't think you would actually do it. God. Maybe? Scotty, what do you think? Was it our fault?
I mean, Tori, it comes down to your bad judgment, ultimately. You have to be responsible for your own actions. But I think I didn't think you would actually do it.
Yeah.
That's something we learned as we got to know each other. Tori will always actually do it.
Oh my God, that's so good.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back. If you've been listening, we have Scotty Chapman here. She was one of the original Mythbusters on the Bill team with me and Tori. And people, like, such a fan favorite. We get so many questions on, like, Instagram, social media, just asking about Scotty. I want to finish the audience question part of the episode off with Scotty joining us on this one. Here we've got Mac asks, what happened to Scotty? Why did she leave? Why why did you leave television, Scotty? Why did you leave Mythbusters?
Everybody loves what, show
this
business.
This is the million dollar question, you know? And the bummer about answering this question is that it's been so much fun to read all the different rumors of why I left. You know, there's so much speculation out there and stories, and, you know, that's been entertaining. But anyway, I would say 75% of it had to do with my situation with the Puppet Master and that environment just being in a very toxic, you know, environment with somebody that was just, you know, against me completely. That whole thing just escalated and I was done with that. The other thing too, that I have, we started doing really stupid myths. I thought the pyramid power one was really stupid.
Oh my God. Yes.
That was terrible.
Forgot about that one.
Woo. Yeah. It was just, I was not enjoying myself there. And it wasn't even that, I mean, yeah, work is not always going to be fun, but it was at the point I'm like, this is not worth it. So
they were long days.
It was very sad,
long, hard days. And like, if you were taking an hour and a half commute in and out, and our days were sometimes 12 and 13 hours, like, that's not a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
It was sad though. It was sad to lose you.
Yeah.
It was very sad to lose you, because it was like, we had made such a bond with you and a connection that it was like, wait, don't leave. It was like,
I know. I know.
She's getting out. Don't leave. You can't leave us. You can't leave. Don't leave
but
me
you
here.
Guys, I mean, I have to say, I have no regrets. I mean, not just because I like, you know, what I'm doing now. But the big thing is that I'm so glad Grant got to have that time there.
Totally.
Because, I mean, he really belonged there. And, you know, to see his talents, and, you know, I'm glad I got to leave so he could come in there and do that.
That's awesome.
So, Scotty, what are you doing now? Everybody wants to know. And not only what are you doing now, but my personal question is, what was your favorite story of why you left?
Oh, no, there's the big one, because that I got fired because of when Adam got shocked with the whole thing with the arc.
Yeah.
That I had done that, like, or that was my idea, so I got fired for that or something.
Myth busted. Scotty did not get fired.
Yeah, no. And, you know, just a lot that, you know, there was like interpersonal drama between, like, you know, you and me, Carrie, you and I, and
all those cat fights behind the scenes.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. Fighting over Buster's attention, you know.
Yeah, girl
Buster
fight.
Liked you better. And
get your popcorn.
But I don't know. It's just random stuff. But just to see all the people, you know, just coming up with all these things that, I don't know. It's been fun to read. It's also been fun to read, like, oh, what is she doing now? Oh, she has two kids. And like, wait, what? Not that I know of, but.
And I think you would know.
I think so. But anyway, yeah.
So what are you up to now?
I am a dental hygienist. I know. So glamorous. You know what, though? I have to say, I talk about nerding out. I totally nerd out on this stuff. And it's absolutely fascinating.
I have more questions from the internet. Would you be willing to take a couple more? We'll see, like.
Sure. Oh. Yeah.
All right, we've got one from John that says, what's your favorite Scotty moment that never made it on camera? I've got some favorite moments that made it on camera. Remember when you took a drill to make a joke about, like, like lobotomizing yourself with the drill?
Yeah.
And it actually wound your hair up and pulled a chunk of your hair out?
We had another guest on, and we were just telling that story. Like, it's when the camera's rolling, you're like, oh, I'm just going to do something to be entertaining. And you just like put it up there like, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, like that actually, like what happened?
Yeah, pulled out my hair. I didn't think, did that make it?
Yeah, that made it over and over and over.
Oh.
Yeah. And you had like a bald spot because it had wrapped the bandana and your hair into a like spiral, and it ripped a chunk out. And I remember you pulled it off And we're like, oh shit, you got a bald spot now.
From Juliana, what's a myth Scotty totally saved because of her skills and metalworking or fabrication? Like every single one. I think they were during Beat the Speed Radar. That was like our first autonomous myth that it was just the three of us.
Oh.
And I kept doing dumb stuff. And I remember Scotty would be like, no, do it this way. And then like the camera go on and be like, oh, I've been doing it right the whole time. I mean, like I remember I was trying to take like the magnetron out of a microwave. And do you remember Jamie's like, maybe don't stand so close in front of that.
if you want to have kids, are you planning to have children? Then don't stand in front of it.
You forgot to do the.
Don't screw up. Don't screw up, Scotty. I feel like we're going to have to get you back on because this is so fun reliving it. Because you were there in the early days with us, and there's just so many memories that you're bringing out in my mind that I don't know. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. So good to see you, Scotty.
It's great to see you guys. I miss you guys.
Yeah.
And same. Tori, yeah. Hopefully someday we'll see each other in person.
Yes, we got to do this.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to MythFits. Make sure to subscribe, follow, keep watching us every week, and of course, when you're on Instagram, if you've got more questions for Scotty, maybe we can have a revisit.
Yes.
With that, MythFits out.
MythFits out.
Pioneer.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.